my daughter-in-law to come with me, and we're going to demonstrate how a younger person shows respect to an older person. If you greet them, okay?
Now, Chris Zakopoulos will say welcome in Swedish.
From a girl with a Greek last name, but I am 100% Swedish, but I don't really speak it. But anyway, it's just välkommen, pretty much like the Norwegian way.
Okay, good, thank you.
And then we have two young ladies who will say it in Spanish. And these girls are from Spain.
Bienvenidos.
I did forget to mention that we had another ethnic group meeting in one of our Lions churches, and that was the Laotian group. Now I understand that they're meeting in their own home, but they used to meet in Apple Valley Church. Hope Community Church. Why am I making an issue of this? First of all, I want you all to feel welcome. But secondly, do you realize who these ethnic groups are representing? They're representing countries where there's been political unrest, so much so that the people came to America, or they've had so much religious, persecution, yes. Religious persecution, and so that's why they're here. So I want you, when you see them, to remember that these are only a few of the people that they represent. There are thousands and thousands more in their own countries who are undergoing a lot of religious persecution. Those people are the hurting church, and I wish that you would remember to pray for them. All right, now I have asked the pastor to come up here, oh my goodness, because he was our chef. Let's give him a hand. I didn't know he had such a fancy hat. Pastor, I want them all to see who you are. Is Pastor Hobbs of the Northbrook Alliance Church. And if there's ever a true servant of the Lord, he is, I'll tell you. Yesterday I saw him in there cutting up onions. I mean, not just a couple onions, just a bunch of them. Thank you, Pastor, for what you did. Thank you. All right, now I'm going to ask Agnes Tonges to come forward, please, because I think this is a wonderful time when all you ladies are together to hear something about our national project. Every year, the women of our churches all over the United States give money towards some project. And last year, maybe Agnes will tell you how much we gave, so I won't steal her thunder. But it was a tremendous amount. And Agnes, just take over and tell us about the project. Because, first of all, I hope you notice, we were focusing on you. Now we want you to focus on what you can do in your own churches to help with missions.
Lillian asked me to share about the National Project and the Stamp Ministry. And I have a couple questions for you. How many of you receive letters at home or at your work? Okay, we all do, don't we? But the next question is, what do you do with those envelopes after they are opened? I hope that you save the stamps. we can have a real ministry in saving stamps, something that everybody would just throw away. But just cut it off, leaving a quarter or a half an inch around the stamp. Take it to your Alliance Women's meeting or save them. You received a brochure about the stamps, and there is an address where you can send them to. You can send for more information. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was last year, there was $28,000 that was received from stamp collectors. And that $28,000 went to purchase and publish Sunday school, Christian education materials for Latin America. And here's just a couple of them that they have. Now, we have a Karen Gustafson, who is in Argentina, and she and her group are the ones that write up this material, and they have it printed. And this is what your old throwaway, supposedly, stamps can do, have a real ministry in Sunday schools. The National Project last year, we just received an email, and the total amount that was received was $355,154. Now, that's over 20,000 more than the year before. Praise the Lord, because that's a lot of material that will be used for our Bible school, providing books, supplies for our Bible schools and our seminaries. I had a note from Bev Hendrickson just recently, and she said that they had in China had visited a mountain church, and then they also visited a city church of 750 people. And she said, as she sat in that service, she was so thrilled to be part of the Worldwide Alliance Women, because they were using the PowerPoint that you ladies provided for that church. And she was just thrilled to see it being used. This year, our national project, as Lillian said, is focus your attention. And I think most of you have received a flyer about that. The goal is $340,000 this year. And I'm sure if we did $355,000 last year, surely we can do the $340,000. And this will be to provide multimedia events and also programming. So as you think about it, save your quarters or do a little contest in your church. That's what we're going to do this year. And see who can win, the men or the women. Or other years we have saved quarters in the little film canisters. So there's a lot of ideas you can do. I believe there is a video to be shown, and Becky Zurich, the National Alliance Women's President, will tell you more about the project.
It's time for the video. But ladies, while this is getting prepared, 340,000, that's nationwide. Do you think you ladies can do your part? Yes. Come on. We want you to be excited about that. All right, watch the video.
Every once in a while, I need to see my eye doctor to get new glasses. Sometimes I really struggle to read the chart on the wall, but that's how the doctor can detect a weakness. I'm always amazed at how much sharper everything comes into focus when I have new and stronger lenses. Our monthly devotionals this year are designed to help us correct our vision so that we can see more clearly the values Christ wants us to imitate. Our monetary goal will enable us to help others see better too.
Hello, water, my life.
Yesu Bangiko is birth of Christ in the Jula language.
We filmed it in an African courtyard. We had animals and babies. We had a big king in all his splendor. It's actually the second video that we've produced with the women at Shana Falao. And we thought if we could produce some good Christian videos made by people here that relate to people here, and also a way to do evangelism.
With simple home video cameras and some editing software, missionaries and local believers were able to produce this contextualized version of the Christmas story. The programs were used locally and shown on national television.
I think it's an effective tool to draw a crowd. You set a television screen up or a movie screen up, and you instantly have a throng of people around.
Recently in Sarajevo, the Jesus film was shown in several of the largest movie theaters around. Over 5,000 people saw the films. If we had access to more of this type of communication, we could take it to the other larger cities of our region, impact significantly greater numbers of people.
We identified 55 villages that we wanted to go into, show the Jesus film. The results of that, over 10,000 people put their faith in Jesus Christ, getting on the Jesus road. 40 churches were planted.
The Alliance is using the Jesus film as an effective tool for evangelism and discipleship in many fields. Missionaries use it in diverse settings, as it's available on video cassette and DVD in hundreds of languages. Additional funds would allow missionaries to purchase more copies and also aid translation into more languages. Even though audio cassettes aren't so popular in the U.S. anymore, they're still valuable overseas.
Music always draws a crowd. Kids start coming in, kids who weren't even here originally. They start wandering in to see what's happening. Where's that music coming from? What's happening? It's good for teaching them the melody of a song. It stimulates their imagination. It helps them to remember things.
Radio is the most popular information and entertainment medium in the world. Recognizing this, the Alliance has made a strategic effort to invest in radio ministries. Where a local church might be able to impact a few dozen or a few hundred people every week, radio can potentially influence thousands.
We produce evangelistic and Bible teaching programs. We also air music, beginning English, and social development programs.
Almost everyone can afford one of these inexpensive solar-powered radios provided by the station.
I think it's one of the best ways to touch people who aren't ordinarily open. They go home and listen to the radio and are really captivated by it.
Additional resources could help to fund many audiovisual projects. Some churches and schools need overhead projectors or help with replacing bulbs. Others need basic sound equipment.
We need all sorts of audiovisual equipment in order to have an adequate classroom. Students can hardly see the overhead on the wall. If we had the right equipment, we could better utilize what we already have.
I trust our eyeglass motif will help us remember that we need to see the world through God's eyes. Our goal this year is to raise $340,000 for multimedia resources. Generous giving through your Alliance Women's Group or local congregation will provide essential tools for our ministries overseas.
One of the things that we envision in the future is a better setup for our video filming with good lighting, better microphones.
I would liken it to any craftsman here in the States. If you're going to build a house and you don't have the right tool to build, it's not going to be an effective building. And it's the same way overseas.
I want to personally thank you for your generous support of this project and for all you've done to support Alliance Women projects over the years.
I hope that enlightened you as to what our project will be all about. And that video really made me homesick because a lot of that part in Africa is exactly where I was just before we retired. Now, I'd like you to focus a little bit on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll do that through singing. And at this time, I'm going to ask Carla Raitt
to lead us in some songs. And would you all please rise and stand while we do that? Change your position a bit. Thank you. The first song will be Bind Us Together, Lord.
Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together in love. There is only one God. There is only one King. There is only one body. That is why I sing. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together in love. Bind us together in love. Bind us together in love.
Like me to continue on with the worship? Okay. I just like us, like Lillian said, just to be able to focus on Jesus Christ, especially during this time. And He inhabits our praises, the praises of His people. And that's what we are here for, is to worship and to praise Him every minute of our life. And so the songs that we are going to be singing are going to be familiar songs. So we don't have the words that are going to be placed up there, because we really want you to focus on just singing to the Lord, closing your eyes or whatever you need to do, and just focus totally on Him. There is one song that I need you, if there's a hymnal, are there hymnals out there? I hope there's hymnals. There's hymnals? Okay. I'd like you to turn to 255. Open my eyes that I may see. 255. Open my ears, illumine me.
Yes, I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, sweet Jesus, we love you, Lord. We want to see you every moment of the day. Help us not to forget about you, Lord, but to remember you always, Jesus. May our eyes always be focused on you, Lord. Turn our eyes off of ourselves and onto you, Lord, and onto your will for our lives, Father God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for
you. After the very happy time we had downstairs and all the echo, it's just wonderful to be able to just be quiet and worship the Lord too. Thank you, Carla Ray, for leading us in those worship songs. And when it says the things of earth will grow strangely dim, I have seen a little poem which I really love. And I think it's very true. And it says this: I have held many things in my hands and lost them all. But whatever I have put in Jesus' hands, that I possess. Now, let's turn our focus on something a little bit different, and that is on our giving, because we'll have our offering now. And at this time, I'm going to ask a brother and sister duet to come up, and it will be Elaine Dean, who, by the way, has a daughter, Dr. Carolyn Dean, in Laos at this time. She's a missionary mother. And then Ross Root, who is her brother. And Ross, would you come forward too? Now, Ross is a musician in his own right. He teaches organ and piano at Schmidt Music Company. So let's enjoy the music together. Ross would like me to offer a prayer first, and let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, Lord, when as a group we can bind our hearts together in love for one another, in love for you, and in love for worship also, and in making an impact on others. And right now, Lord, before the offering, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of the women to give generously to your work. It's not our work, Lord. It's your work. And so we just pray your blessing on this offering for those who can give and for those who can't give. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Totally amiss, because I missed out on something. Do you know who was at the piano? That was another sister. That's Elaine. Wasn't that beautiful? Thank you, family, so very much. That was just beautiful. Can you imagine that much talent in one band?
Thank you.
Now I'm going to ask a very special person to come up. She's a very good friend of mine. And her name is Nancy Thompson. And Nancy is our Northwest District President. And let's give her a hand. We keep each other in line.
Yes, and we cry. And sometimes we laugh together. She is a delight to know, Lillian is. It has been a pleasure to be here this evening. Have you all enjoyed what has gone on already? I certainly have. And there's more to come. I want to ask you ladies, how many of you went to 2000 celebration down in Nashville? Did any of you ladies go there? In 2000. Oh, a few hands. Yes. Yes, Lillian did, yes. Well, I was all packed and ready to go. 7 o'clock in the morning. And then I got sick, so I couldn't go. But I want to know how many ladies are interested or are planning to go to Celebration 2004. How many of you are? Oh, great. Oh, wonderful. Oh, that's delightful. And you too, Lillian. Lillian's going to do some speaking, too. The lady that's the main speaker is Jennifer Rothschild, and she has been blind at the age of 15 from a degenerative disease. She's also is an artist. She's an author, too, and she will be the main speaker there. She wrote a book on lessons I learned in the dark. She will be singing, and we do have a video of that, and you can ask our Krista Strasser, that's our district superintendent's wife, and she is the one that has that video if you'd like to see that. Now, the deadline is December the 1st, and you can register online, and all the information is there. How many of you have received these pamphlets? I sent them out to all your representatives, your area presidents, the local presidents. You all should have received one of these. If not, then ask your president or your representative. There's many other speakers. We're also going to have, perhaps you're familiar with, Kay Arthur, Condra Pierce, Peggy Miller, and a few other ladies. We're going to have also some seminars here, and the whole list of ladies here were for seminars. Also, that is the 75th year of the Alliance Women's Ministries, and there's going to be special things there for us to see how ladies before us worked and prayed and gave for our missionaries. It's going to be a delight to be there. Another thing that's coming up that's special is our celebration our focus, adjusting our focus. It's going to be in celebration at the Nelden Alliance Church on April 17th. Your district committee is putting this on for you. It's like a retreat, but it's not going to be a retreat. It's going to be a celebration. And guess who we're going to have as our speaker there? You just saw her on the video, Becky Zook, our national president. So I think you ladies should really consider coming April the 17th at Now Then Alliance Missionary Church. And that's just about 16, 17 miles north, maybe not even that far, maybe about 15 miles north of Anoka on County Road 5. That shouldn't be too hard to find. We will probably send some maps with more of our advertisement. But we would like all you ladies to come because it's going to be very special. We're also going to have Dorothy Wood from our missionary in our district from Dominican Republic. So we would like you to come there and think about that, ladies, and come for that special day. It's just going to be one day. And we're going to have registration at 9:30. We're going to start at 10, and we'll probably be through about a little after 2. So consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. And to help you remember some of the important dates that Nancy mentioned, if you look on your little brochure on the back there where the little teapot is, it says dates to remember. Celebrate 2004, January 29 to February 1st, and spring retreat April 17 at Now Then Alliance Church. Did you see that little teapot on there? And since this is a Filipino tea party, and by the way, I heard the Filipinos don't drink too much tea. That kind of floored me. They drink a lot more coffee, but they do drink tea. And one of my new Filipino friends, she lent me this teapot. And I asked her, what kind of tea do you drink then? And she said, we take fresh guava leaves and we put them in hot water and boil them up. And that's the kind of tea we drink. And it's a good medicinal kind of a drink, too. And another lady told me, it was Josie, she said, well, it's also good for if you have a rash and drink that tea, that helps. So it must be an antihistamine, too. But remember those important dates, and they're on the back of your brochure. Now, the main part of the evening is going to be coming up, and I'm going to invite Eldora Huffman to come forward, please. And before she does, I wanted to read some, I want to read just a little bit from the Bible about verses that talk about the islands. Now remember, the Philippines is an archipelago of over 7,000 islands. And I thought, what does the Bible say about it? And here are just a few of the verses. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Isaiah 42:10, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth, to you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. Isaiah 49:1, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. And then this part of the verse, I feel, is for Eldora. Verse 6, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Every tongue shall confess, and every knee shall bow. And then Isaiah 24:14 and verse 15, therefore in the east give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the island of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. And isn't that what all of us want to do? We want to bring glory to the Lord. And we have missionaries, because missionaries go to foreign lands where people have never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. And they tell them about the Lord. And the whole reason for it is to give the good news to those people, but also to bring back the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, because he said, after every nation hears, he will return. So, Eldora, you were one of those missionaries. And you know, I was on tour once in the South, and I met a young girl, and she said, I've never seen a missionary before. And she touched my arm, you know. And actually, missionaries, you know, are just people. And so I'm going to ask Yeah, they're your children and your mums and dads and everybody else. But Eldora, I want us to focus on you as a person first. Where did you grow up as a girl?
I was born and raised in Wisconsin. I'm a cheesehead, but I married a Viking, so.
When did you know you wanted to be a missionary and why?
I was about 8 years old when I felt that God was calling me to missions. I think one of the important reasons was that my mother and father often had missionaries in our home. We were from churches that had missionary conventions, and we often had the missionaries in our home, and I think that was one of the main influences.
Okay. You are also a wife. Where did you and Terry meet?
At St. Paul Bridal College, a Bible college.
That says it all. How did the Lord lead you to the Philippines?
Actually, Terry and I both wanted to go to Irian Jaya, Indonesia, and we applied open with a preference to Irian Jaya. And when our assignment came, they assigned us to the Philippines. They said that visas were very hard to get for Irian Jaya, and would we be willing to go to the Philippines? And so we said yes, because we felt that God could lead those men to direct us to the right place, and we've been thrilled to be there.
All right, and now the last question. You as a mother, you have three children, two boys and a girl. Were they all born in the Philippines?
No, our daughter, our eldest, Sue, was born in Minnesota when we were pastoring, and Craig, our second, was also born in Minnesota. We were pastoring in Renville at the time. And our youngest, Michael, was born in Zamboanga, Philippines.
All right. Thank you. And now you know something about Eldora, and you can pray better for her. And now, Eldora, come share your heart with us about the mission field where you are at in the Philippines.
Thank you. When Lillian first asked me to come and speak at this tea, I was reminded of something that happened when we were learning, just first arrived in the Philippines. I was trying to be very hospitable, and a young man, Fernando, came to our house, and we actually hadn't really started language study yet. And so I was trying to be real friendly, and so this young man came to our house, and I asked him if he'd like a cup of coffee. And he said no. And it was hot, so I understood that. What I didn't know was that in the Philippines, I should have asked him three times, because it wasn't a real invitation until I'd ask him the third time. But I didn't know that, so I only asked him once. So I thought, well, maybe he just doesn't like coffee. So I said, well, would you like some tea? And his eyes got big, and he shook his head no, and he said, no, I don't want any tea. And I thought, well, that's a strange reaction. Why did he act so violently about this tea? It's not all that bad. And later, when we started studying language, I found out that the word for feet in Taboli, our dialect, was T. Now, it was spelled T-I, but it was pronounced T. And I'm quite sure that Fernando thought I was trying to offer him some drink made out of some part of the foot, and he wasn't interested. I should have used the word cha. You know what cha is. Okay, I would like to thank you for inviting me to this tea. Most of us probably came with friends. How many of you came with friends? Okay, if you didn't come with friends, talk to somebody and make a new friend, okay? I'd like to introduce you tonight to three of my Taboli friends. They're all... They've all been students of mine at our pastor's Bible school. One of our primary ministries has been to teach in the pastor's Bible school. It's a short-term training for bivocational pastors. They're all very involved in ministry, but like you and I, they've had to have times when they had to adjust their focus. And I hope that their testimonies will help us tonight as we adjust our focus. My first friend is Bonya. Now, Bonya was a little bit unusual because she was raised in a village that, at the time that she was growing up, had an Alliance church. When we went to the Philippines, there were approximately 30 Alliance churches. We were not the first missionary there, and so there were a few churches. And Bonya was raised in a village that had an Alliance church. She went faithfully to Sunday school and church. She worked as in the home of a missionary while she was going to high school. And later when she married a young man from the youth group. She thought he was a Christian, but soon after they were married, things began to change. He quit going to church. He was drinking. He started carousing around and all sorts of things that made her life very difficult. But Bonya was faithful to the Lord, and she was involved in teaching Sunday school and in helping in the local church. Then the pastor of her church passed away. And so she was asked if she would please take more leadership in the church. She started attending TEE classes, theological education by extension classes. And she also started attending our pastor's Bible school. But life was very difficult for Bonya, and she would have to bring her small children to class. And so here she was trying to take notes and take a test, and she had preschoolers running around by her because her husband, although he was at home, not working, he refused to take care of the children because he didn't want her at school. She had a hard time paying her bill. And at lunchtime, she lived maybe 2 kilometers from home, and so at lunchtime, she'd have to run home and make his lunch because he was just being very difficult about her going to school. It was hard for her to even scrape together enough money to pay her tuition. And actually, her tuition wasn't all that expensive. Maybe about $2 to $3, but it was hard for her to come up with this amount of money. And her husband, even though he had land and farmed, wouldn't help her out. Usually, whenever there was a time to give a prayer request, Bonya's prayer request was for the salvation of her husband. Often she'd miss sessions. And so she progressed slowly through the course. Then she got to level 5, and that's where we studied the pastoral epistles. And when she studied 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus with me, she was confronted with the fact that the scripture is very clear that if you're the leader of a church, your spouse should be a believer. Now, when Paul was writing, he was talking to men and their wives. And if you would like to talk to me later about why women are pastors in the Philippines, I'll be glad to talk to you about that. But there are ladies that are pastoring churches there. But she was confronted with the fact that Scripture was quite clear that as the head of the church, In Lumbletet, maybe this wasn't right before God because her husband was not a believer. And so during this very emotional 3 weeks, She'd cry. I'd be teaching class, and she'd be just crying. She'd come into class, and she would just, she was so emotional about whatever. I didn't know what was going on. But then she came and talked to me, and she said, "I feel that I need to give up my church." She said, "I think God's word is very clear that as long as my husband is not a believer, I can't lead the church in L'Angleterre." The church didn't want her to quit. They liked Vonya. They enjoyed her ministry. She was a good teacher. She was learning things in pastor's Bible school that was helpful. But she made a decision to quit leading the church. She went to the zone supervisor and she asked him if he would please find someone to take over the church. He found a man to come every week and hold services in L'Angleterre. She missed two PBS sessions. Because she was very near, her home was very near to where we held our classes, she'd stop by for a visit. We'd have coffee together. And we'd talk, but she wouldn't come back to school. And then she came with some wonderful news. Can you guess what it is? Her husband had become a believer. He had dedicated his life to the Lord, and there was evidence in his life of radical changes in his life. Well, the next PBS session, she still didn't come back to school. But she did come by, and she said, "You know, I missed the first 3 days of class." She said, "Is it possible for me to come back?" And we said, "No." We had rules in school because class only lasts for 15 days, and if you miss three of them, you know, it's a big share of your class. And so we felt like we had to follow the standards. But she said, "Do you know what happened this time?" She said, "I didn't come to school because I didn't think my husband wanted me to. But God has so changed his heart." She said that he said, "Why aren't you in school? You should be going to PBS." And her children said, "Aren't you going to school?" And she said, "No." And they said, "Well, next time you need to be in school." Well, soon after the pastor's Bible school finished, there was a work project. They were building a house for the caretaker. And Bonya's husband came and he worked for 2 days. When it came time to pay the workers, he said, I don't want any money. He said, "I want my pay to be applied to Bonya's tuition for the next time she comes to school." Bonya was again asked to lead the church, and this time she accepted. And God had not only answered her prayer request, but also given her the desires of her heart. Psalm 119, verse 18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." You know, Psalm 119 talks a lot about God's law. It talks often, the psalmist talks about opening our eyes to see what's in God's law. Bonya's eyes were opened. And Bonya adjusted her focus. She was willing to give up something that was good for something that was better, obedience to God. And by giving up these good things to be obedient to God and what she saw in his word, God answered her prayers and he also gave her the desires of her heart. My second friend is Lolita. Now, Lolita is a very short lady. I first met her when she was a first-year student at our pastor's Bible school. I think she was about 19. And she had two preschoolers already. But we found out that she grew up in a very poor village. It was a small village in the mountains. But the people there were very poor, and her family especially were very poor. Because she was a girl, her family didn't really see any reason to waste any money on education for her, because all she was going to do was get married anyway. And so she never had the privilege of going to school. Tabole custom is that when girl gets married, the family has already arranged the marriage. Now, that's changing in today's culture, but traditionally, and even still today in the mountains, many marriages are arranged. And often these marriages are arranged when the children are 2 or 3 years old. And so this was not uncommon that Lolita's marriage was already arranged. But the children, and at this, when this marriage is arranged, there is certain property and money that is given, and other property that is promised as a dowry. Now, you've heard all sorts of things about dowries in other cultures, and a lot of people think it's really terrible. In Tabole, for the most part, it isn't all that terrible, because this says that both families are giving property, and so when there's a problem in the marriage, both families work really hard to keep that marriage together because they don't want to give back the dowry. Because, you know, if they give a water buffalo, a carabao, you have to not only give back the water buffalo, you have to give back all the children that water buffalo has had as well. It's very expensive, and so they don't want to do that, so they work really hard to keep this marriage intact. But because Lolita's family was so poor, they arranged a marriage with her first cousin. Well, I can see some of you wrinkling up your noses. That's exactly what happened in Tabole. Lolita was embarrassed. The reason they did it was to keep the dowry limited and in the family. You know, if it was between siblings, I mean, first cousins, then they really didn't have to give very much of a dowry. But Lolita was looked down on. She had very low self-esteem. She was about 14 when she actually married Marino. So by the time she came to PBS, when she was about 19, she had these two preschoolers. Lolita came to school. She was not very clean, not very well kempt. Her hair was kind of uncombed, and her clothes were kind of dirty, and her children were terribly misbehaved. They ran all over school. It was terrible to try to teach a class with these little children running in and out and not being behaving. She was very shy, and she was real touchy. We couldn't figure out why she was so, you know, easily angered and just cried often. And everybody kind of had to treat Lolita very carefully. Well, later we found out that she had just suffered so much from all the ridicule for marrying her first cousin that this was just a big problem for her. Well, as she studied God's word, changes came into her life. And we noticed that within 3 to 4 years, she was dressing very, very neat. Her clothes were clean. Her hair was clean and combed. She had started to get some schooling through our pastor's Bible school. Well, I think I forgot to tell you that she had literacy training, so it was possible for her to read, but it was very, very difficult. Very difficult. But by the time she had been in school for 3 years or so, she was getting good grades in our pastor's Bible school. And she learned to play the guitar, and she was leading the singing, and she was singing special numbers. And you would not have recognized the Lolita that had come to school just a few years before. Marino graduated from our pastor's Bible school, and he was ordained. And so they took a church in another village away from their families. And while they were there, Lolita heard about a village that needed a church. There was a village that had no Christian witness at all. And so she and Marino talked, and she said, as long as I'm getting training at Pastor's Bible School as well, I would like to go to that village and start Bible studies. And so she did. So she, Marino would handle the main church, and she would go to this other village and hold Bible studies. And soon there was a church that was established. And now it's a growing church. And she is very involved in ministry. In God's Word, in the book of James, it says in James chapter 2, verse 5, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, says, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that not one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." Lolita had to adjust her focus. She had to see God, see herself, not as the people around her saw her, but as God saw her. She had to realize that God loved her and had died for her and had a plan for her, no matter what other people thought of her. Then God could use her to bring his light and honor his name in a village that had no Christian witness before. My third friend is Ema. Ema and her husband Martin pastored a small church in the village of Datalbong. It was about 3 or 4 kilometers from where they lived, and so they would go on Saturdays and hold Bible studies and then stay overnight and preach there on Sunday and have Sunday school, and then walk back home. At Pastor's Bible School, they heard that Marino, Lolita's husband, had used some discipleship booklets that we had translated, and you can see those out on my table out there. And they had used those in Bible studies in homes, and very successfully, because the first book is of evangelistic nature. And so Marino had used them, and when he shared about this, Martin and Ema said, "Oh, that's a good idea, and we're going to start doing that in our church as well." And so they were in the mountains having these Bible studies. And they started with people in their church, but then they would invite other people from the village to join in these evangelistic Bible studies. And there was one house of a family that they thought about going to. And when they talked to the church members, they said, well, we think we should go there to that house and we should invite those people. And the people in the church said, oh, no, don't invite them. They used to come to church. But then their daughter died. And when their daughter died, they decided to go back and follow the spirits again. And they quit coming to church. And when we go past their house, they say mean things to us, and they're not nice, and they'll be really rude to you. Said, don't go to their house. Don't bother. They know about Christianity, and they're not interested because they've decided to go back to the spirits. Now, what did that mean? That meant that when the wife went out in the forest, if she heard a certain bird similar to a dove sing, that was a sign from the spirits that something terrible was going to happen, and she'd go back home. And if she was coming out of her bamboo house on the ladder and she sneezed, a sign that something terrible was going to happen, and she'd go back home. Go back up into her house, and she wouldn't go do whatever it was she had planned to do that day. This lady saw visions of her daughter who had died, and the whole, everything she did was to appease the spirits so that she could get relief from this. Well, one Saturday morning, God prompted Ema and told her, you really need to go and have this Bible study in this home. And she said, no, Lord, you know, they're not interested. But God said, you need to go today. And she resisted, and she had all sorts of reasons why she couldn't go to this family. But God didn't let her off the hook, you know, didn't listen to all of her complaints. And so finally, Ema related that she told Martin that this seems to be where we should go today. And, well, Martin wasn't a lot any more brave than Ema was. And so they kind of talked about it, and they said, oh, you know, what are they going to do to us? Well, really, they weren't going to do anything except probably mock them for being believers, but they were afraid. But God didn't give them any peace until finally they decided, all right, this afternoon when we go up to Dat El Bong, that's the house we're going to go and visit in. Well, when they got to the house was full of people. And Ema said, good, they're having a birthday party, or there's some big family crisis, or there's some big problem, and they're too busy. So I don't need to go there. But the lady saw them standing out on the path. And the lady invited her in and said, come on in. Well, there was nothing else to do but accept. So they went into the house, and they said, looks like you're very busy. And the lady said, oh, no. She said, we've been waiting for you. We heard that you were having Bible studies in homes, and today we invited all of our relatives, and we've been waiting for you. Ema said, what if we had not gone? What if we had not gone? Through that Bible study, this lady and her family came back to the Lord. And that lady gave testimony later that she would be out on the path and she'd hear the muhan, the bird, and she'd say, "Satan, Jesus is in my heart. Get away from here." She quit having visions of her deceased daughter. She had peace in her heart. And several of her family members also came to know the Lord. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 4, verse 35, "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." But you know, in verse 34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." God had work for Ema and Martin to do. God has work for you and I to do. We need to adjust our focus away from our own convenience, away from our feelings. We need to open our eyes and see the harvest. Are there times that, like Ema, you're afraid? You feel prompted to share the gospel with somebody, but you say, "Oh, what are they going to think of me? What are they going to say? Oh, they're going to laugh. They're going to talk about me at work." Are there those in your life that are waiting to hear the good news and we're afraid to share it? As you've met my three friends, I pray that their testimonies have spoken to your hearts. Are there times in your life that you aren't being obedient to God's word? You read it. God shows you through his Spirit something that he wants you to do. But we turn our back and we don't obey his word. Maybe it's not convenient. Maybe we're already busy doing lots of good things. Psalm 119, 4 and 5 says, "You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed." Fully obeyed. "Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees." God's blessing and answers to prayer come when we're obedient. Maybe the answer isn't what we expect. You know, Bonya was there getting trained to do a better job leading her church. And she came to the decision that she had to quit pastoring. But that opened the door for many blessings in her family because she was obedient. Psalm 66, 18 and 19 says, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and heard my voice in prayer." Maybe you've suffered in your childhood, like Lolita. Maybe not for the same reasons, but there have been things in your childhood and youth, or maybe even more recently than that. And you've forgotten who you are in Christ. You've let the world dictate who you are and your value. You let those around you shape your opinion of who you are. Like Lolita, we need to remember that God uses the weak things, the lowly, not the mighty and the rich, so that our boasting is in Christ, not in who we are. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.' That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Finally, maybe your vision has gotten clouded by fear or a desire for things or a lack of compassion for the lost. Often we're content to be with our friends in our church, and we never see those outside our church. It's easy. It's nice and comfortable here. We're all friends. But let's look to the fields. They're ready for harvest. And may we see as Christ sees. Before we close in prayer, I'd like to read from Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Allow God to search your heart and adjust your focus as I read. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's go to prayer. If the Lord has spoken to you about something, perhaps you'd like to be remembered in prayer, you can just raise your hand. If God has spoken to you about an area in your life, maybe you're not obedient to His word, or maybe you're not looking at the fields, or maybe you're not seeing who you are in Christ. Okay, thank you. Are there others? Okay. All right, let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimonies of these three ladies. And I pray that as we think about their stories, that you would also speak to us, search our hearts. We often get anxious. We often do things that are offensive to you. And I pray that you would forgive us. We pray for those that you have spoken to especially tonight, that you would continue to work in their hearts in a special way and lead each of us and adjust our focus so that we can see as you see. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. And the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light. shift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find.
Friends, isn't that what each of us want to be? Faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that takes obedience. And right now, Eldora, we thank you for being faithful to the call that the Lord gave to you even when you were young. And because of it, people there in the Philippines have come to know the Lord. And they have not only come to know the Lord, but they've given their lives to the Lord and been obedient. And we want to give you something now. So would you come forward, please? We know that the Philippines is a lot warmer than it is here in Minnesota. And so here are a few gifts for you.
One for your feet, and one for your head, and one for your neck.
Should I open that now, or no?
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Chris, can you tell them what it is? This is Chris Sacopula, if you don't know yet. And she is the Metro Area Secretary and Treasurer. Thank you.
Tell them what it is.
Oh, I already told you kind of what it was. For her feet, we got her some snow boots. For her head, a hat. And for her neck, a scarf. And I had a really fun time talking to your husband. He could not remember what color your coat was. First of all, it was burgundy. Then it was another color. So it was fun. It was. We just really thank you for being here. It's really been a joy to get to meet you, and just bless you in your future.
All right. Oh, whoops, Eldora, you got away too soon again, because we would like Mrs. Hobbs to come in and have the prayer of blessing, and then right after that, you ladies are dismissed. And thank you so much for coming, because without you, this never would have happened. The Lord bless you.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the work and the burden that you've placed on Eldora's heart. And Father, I thank you for the work that she's done and that she will continue to do sharing your love and your grace and your mercy with each and every one of us here, and as she meets new people, Lord. Father, I just ask that you would bless her mightily, that your Holy Spirit would just indwell within her, and that she would be the true light going forth in this nation of darkness. Father, I just thank you again, and I pray your blessings on Eldora and her husband, both, that you would just be mighty power in their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all the work in the hearts that you, of each and every one of your people, that you place forward. Continue to bring those people that are searching, and give the wisdom and the strength and the courage to speak out. Sometimes when it's really hard to speak out, Lord, we know that you're there with us, and we don't ever have to be afraid to talk to anyone. Father God, I just ask your Holy Spirit to rest on Eldora and her husband, and that you are the mighty and powerful God. In Jesus' name.